How many of you are ready to hear the word of God? How many of you have brought your Bibles? Your own Bibles? Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everybody has their own Bibles, right? Good. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come to your presence and we give you thanks. We praise your holy name. Lord, as you have prepared us to listen to your word, fill us, O Lord, with your wisdom, with your spirit, to understand your plan and purpose in our life, O Lord. We thank and praise you, especially for your Son, Jesus Christ, and for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, give me clear conscience as I speak. Let my words be clear, O Father, clear speech, O Father. Let my thoughts be acceptable, O Father. We commit ourselves to you, O Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We thank and praise God for God sending his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. The purpose of Jesus coming into this world, is to give us life and life eternal. There is a difference between life and life eternal. The purpose of coming of Jesus Christ into this world is life eternal. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The word never says that have life. The word says that everlasting life. That means there's no death. Everlasting life, when we speak about everlasting life, there is no death. You live forever. You live forever. I live forever. And Jesus has come into this world to give us everlasting life. To give us everlasting life. What is everlasting life? The next question is, what is everlasting life? Now, we are all Christians, right? We are all believers. We all read Bible. Then we should know to answer this question. What is everlasting life? Oh, living forever. Living forever. That's our thinking, right? We think that living forever. That's what I said. Jesus came into this world and he came to give us everlasting life. Everlasting life is living forever. But what is everlasting life according to the Bible? Let's go to John chapter 17. Are you with me? John chapter 17 and verse 3. Knowing this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. What is eternal life? What is everlasting life? The everlasting life is a combination of the living God. Knowing the living God. Knowing the living God. The combination. Everlasting life is God and Jesus himself. God sent his Son to save the mankind. And whosoever believeth on him will know who is Father, will know who is Son, and will know who is Holy Spirit. Not only knowing. Now when you say that I know, we need to know the functions of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We need to know the functions. And Jesus is saying, these are the words of Jesus Christ, the eternal life is knowing God who sits on the throne and who will judge this world in righteousness. The eternal life is Jesus, the Son of God, who came and sacrificed himself. The eternal life is knowing the Holy Spirit, how he works in our life. Let me take you to Revelation chapter 7. And by God willing, this month, I will be in the book of Revelation. I will be in the book of Revelation. And today I'm preaching from Revelation chapter 6 and 7. And God willing, next time when I am preaching, I will be preaching from Revelation chapter 4. Okay? Now let me ask you, what is revelation? Before we go into the subject, what is revelation? Revelation is a mystery which has been revealed to us. Okay? Revelation is a mystery which has been revealed to us. A hidden thing which has been revealed to Dajipettinatvanti Vishayamunu Devudu Manaku Bayalaparchadu. And what is the book of Revelation talks about? The book of Revelation is a testimony of Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation is a testimony of Jesus Christ. It's a witness of Jesus Christ. It's a proof of Jesus Christ. Now God takes this beautiful letter and calls one of his angels and says, take this letter. This is the testimony of my son who has been slain for the whole world. Take this and go to John and give him. And where was John? John was in Patmos. And God gave this revelation to John. And this revelation is all about Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ. Now, the fifth chapter, the sixth chapter, and the seventh chapter. These three chapters are very good chapters. These good chapters, right? And, you know, there are seven seals. There are seven seals to be opened. And John has seen. And when he has seen, nobody was worthy to open these seals. Nobody was worthy to open these seals. And John started crying. And one of the elders said to John, John, why are you crying? John says, nobody is worthy to open these seals. And the elder said, don't worry. Can you see at the throne? When he has seen at the throne, the Lamb of God which has been slain for you and me was standing. And the four elders, four beasts and 24 elders, bowing before them. And the whole crowd, the whole saints who are in heaven, started praising and worshiping. And they bowed down. They knelt down. And they started singing praises to this slain Lamb of God who died for you and for me. And when John has seen this scene, there were two categories of people John has seen. There were two categories of people. How many categories of people? Two categories of people John has seen. And who are these people? Now, one group is a slain those who have died, those who have been slaughtered, those who have been killed. And the other group is a group who had life in them. The slain, the killed people are near the altar. The other group is praising and worshiping God. But these both groups are in the presence of God. These both groups are in the presence of God. Now, what does it speak? It speaks about the past and the future. The future belongs to you and for me who are alive. The people who are dead are the people who have gone before us, who are in the presence of God. Now, I want you to look to these two categories of people. I want you to understand that what God wants from us. God wants from us. And the question is, God wants from us. But what God wants from us? Unless and until you and I know what God wants from us, we will never be able to give to God what He wants from us. Amen? God wants something from you and from me. God doesn't lack anything. Doesn't lack anything. The life what He has given is a gift to us. But this life belongs to God. If you don't want to give this life to God and use this life for yourself, it doesn't make any sense. It will not bring glory and honor to the God who has created you and me in His own image. Does God need anything from us? Is God lacking anything from us? No. But God is expecting how you respond to His call. How you respond to His call. Let's go to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, and I'm reading from verse 14. Let me read from verse 13. Then one of the elder asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" Who are they and from where did they come from? I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." They have washed. Now, listen very carefully. When I'm reading, go to the words and look into the Bible. Now, what it says, "These are they who have come out of great tribulation." They have, who have? Who have? They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They have washed. Okay? They have washed. Now, go to chapter 6 and verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, the beauty is there are seven seals, right? There are seven seals. In the chapter 6, the six seals have been opened. In the chapter 7, there are no seals opened. The seventh seal is open in chapter 8. So between chapter 6 and chapter 8 falls the numbers of the people, falls the people who are alive and who are in the presence of God. I just want you to imagine. This is the throne of God in heaven. The four creatures and 24 elders and the people who are alive are in the presence of God, praising and worshiping. They are bowing before the God 24/7. Every second, every person is praising God, worshiping God, praising God, worshiping God, praising God, worshiping God, and giving glory to God. And in this, there are two categories. And when we see the fifth seal was open, when the fifth seal was open, I saw under the altar. What did he see? Under the altar. He has seen under the altar the souls of those who had been slain. But these people are dead. Right? These people are dead. These people are not alive. The other group, what we have seen, they have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. They are waiting there. Right? There are psalms, palms in their hands. They are praising and worshiping God. And these people have been slain. Okay? They have been dead. For what? For what? For those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimonies they had manifested. These people have been dead. Now the beauty of this verse is they have been slain. They have been slain. They have been slain. The Greek word slain is phazo. The Greek word slain is phazo. Means killed. Now when you think about killing, we imagine that they are killed like that. No, I want you to imagine when an animal is killed, when an animal is sacrificed. I want you to imagine that scene. Now, to get a beautiful illustration in the Bible for this word, because this word has come from Septuagint, which is the first translation from Hebrew to Greek. And they have taken that original word. And in this original word, to explain this word slain, killed, or sacrificed, has been illustrated in Genesis chapter 4. Now, Genesis chapter 4 is the story of two brothers. It's a story of two brothers. It's Cain and Abel. It's a story of two brothers. Now, we all know this story. And in this story, now, the brother has killed another brother. Correct? The brother has killed another brother. Now, in the story, when we read this story, we never went into the depth of the story. All we think and all we imagine is Cain killed Abel. That's very simple. But when you look into the Word of God, when you look into the Word of God, what made Cain to kill Abel? What made? What made? And when God came and spoke to Cain, what was his response? Now, this is the whole episode which gives us the exact meaning of this word. Now, here, they have given their sacrifices, they have given their offerings. Correct? Both brothers, they have given their offerings, and Cain has been rejected by God. Now, when Cain was rejected by God, there's anger in him. There's anger in him. And God comes. You know, go to fourth chapter and read. God comes. And God says, Cain, why are you angry? If you have done the good things, why will you be angry for me? Because you have not done. You have not given me out of your heart. Your offering was not accepted because your heart was not clean, Cain. And this word registered in him. When God told him, this word was registered in him. Oh, what God wants? He wants a good sacrifice. What he wants? He wants a good sacrifice. Now, when we read the word of God, let's go to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. You're there, right? Then the Lord said, ninth. let's read from verse 8. Sadhama. Okay, thank you. Now, before that, let me read from verse 6. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Now, God is speaking to Cain. And God says, why are you angry? Why are you angry? Why is your face downcasted? If you do what is right, you will not be accepted. But you do not do what is right. Sin is crouching at your door. It is desired to have you, but you must master it. Now see, God spoke to him. God revealed his heart to this person. Okay? God revealed this heart to the person. And he understood the problem. He understood. He understood the problem. And he says, God wants good sacrifice. What he wants? He wants good sacrifice. And he said, brother, come on, let's go to the field. Because we are going to have a big chat. So come on, buddy, let's go to the field. And this guy takes his brother to the field. Okay? Takes his brother to the field. And what is he having in his hand? What is he having? He's having knife. A knife which is used for sacrifice. A knife which is used for sacrifice. And what did he do? When they were in the field, he jumps on his brother, turns him, holds his back, slams his neck. Finished. Boom. You get my point? Whenever the animal is sacrificed, when you see the animal is turned. And the neck is held. They hold the neck. They put it back. Boom. It's gone. Finished. That is the way he killed his brother. Revelation chapter 6. We are there. These people have been slain. For what? These people have been killed for what? For what reason Abel was killed? He was killed for the testimony. He was killed because his offerings were accepted by God. When God accepted his offerings, that was the testimony that the perfect offering God accepts. And the heart of God was revealed between these two brothers. And you know what? After he has slain his brother, God comes and speaks to him. He says, God, you wanted a good offering. What best I can give to you? I gave my own brother. Therefore, I'm not the keeper of my brother. He never respected out of jealousy. These people in Revelation chapter, when we are talking about the first people who were slain for the witness of God, have been killed for standing as a witness, as a proof for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You want to enter into the kingdom of God. I want to enter into the kingdom of God to give us eternal life. Jesus has come into this world and he has died. He has sacrificed his life for you and for me. He was slain for you and for me. Because of his blood, we have been cleansed. And therefore, Jesus very rightly, he says, what he says? If you follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Nannu nuvvu vembadinchinatlayite, వెంబడించిన గోరినట్లయితే నిన్ను నువ్వు ఉపేక్షించుకొని సిలువ వెత్తుకొని అన్నాడు నా వెంబడినట్టు. యూ హ్యావ్ టు డినై, దట్ మీన్స్ నేను కాదు, నాది కాదు, నథింగ్ బిలాంగ్స్ టు మీ. వెన్ యూ డినై, యూ విల్ సే దట్ నథింగ్ బిలాంగ్స్ టు మీ. ద హోల్ లైఫ్ బిలాంగ్స్ టు గాడ్. ద హోల్ లైఫ్ బిలాంగ్స్ టు గాడ్. ఐ హ్యావ్ నో డిజైర్. ఐ హ్యావ్ నో డిజైర్. వెన్ యూ డో నాట్ హ్యావ్ డిజైర్, వెన్ ఐ డో నాట్ హ్యావ్ డిజైర్, then we give our lives to God. Whatever problem comes, we will take it. Because walking with Jesus Christ is not easy. Walking with Jesus Christ is not easy. You know, the first people have been slain for the testimonies, for standing as a witness for Jesus Christ, and their good testimony till today speaks. You know, I was very much touched. I will not reveal who wrote to me. I got a text and said, I would love to read that text. And I was very much encouraged and I started crying with that. And that's a beautiful testimony, you know, beautiful thing. God is going to answer every prayer your wife ever prayed for you, and her prayers covered everything. This is a powerful And indeed, my wife prayed for me. My wife prayed. My wife's prayer is, you must be a sincere person. Don't ever do anything for your gain. You must suffer. You must cry. You must give everything to God. I don't need you in the hospital. All we need is God in our life. And she's on the deathbed. People teach us before they go. People pray for us before they go. People carry the testimony of Jesus Christ in their life before they go. All these people, dead people, have stood as a testimony of Jesus Christ. Now we'll see the second people who are alive. Now when we are alive, what is our duty? Now the second group speaks about you and about me. The second group speaks about you and about me. Let's see what the second group has to do. The second group is you and me. Second group is you and me. Now in this, what it says, I answered, sir, this is the 7th chapter and 14th verse. I answered, sir, you know, and he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. Great tribulation. They have come out of the great tribulation. They have come out of the great tribulation. The word tribulation in Hebrew is tibo. The tribulation, the meaning, the word, original word in Greek is tibo. L is silent, T-H-L-I-B-O. Okay? Go and search. Tibo, which means pressure, which means narrow, which means tight. The meaning of tibo is pressure, narrow, tight, affliction. What is the meaning of this tribulation? Affliction. And when you read into the English, original English word, what is the original English word KJV gives you? Anybody has KJV? We are in Revelation. Don't sleep. Revelation chapter 7:14. Yeah. Tribulation, contraction. Now, the word tribulation, the original, when we see contraction, that means tight. You know, pressure. If I have to explain to you this word, tight, a pressure, a narrow, if you look into an asthma patient, why asthma patient struggles? What happens? What is the struggle of an asthma patient? His airways become narrow. His airways become narrow. And what is happening? He's struggling to live. That's the meaning of this word tribulation. The tribulation, the meaning of tribulation is trying to survive. Hardship, very hard. And some of the snake species, if you understand, how does the snake kill his prey? Right? Correct? And what happens? The pressure. A prey cannot breathe. It will twist and start squeezing. And the prey will die because of suffocation. That is the word which is used, tribulation, suffocation, narrow. And you know, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus explains to us a beautiful illustration Sermon on the Mount, Jesus explains to us a beautiful illustration. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and I'm reading from verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate. What it says? Enter through the narrow gate. This is the word narrow, which is tribulation. When the asthma patients airways become narrow, he started suffering, right? There is what he is suffering to survive. Now Jesus is saying, enter through the narrow gates. Enter through tribulations. Enter through afflictions. Okay? Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Can you say amen? Everybody will not enter into eternal life. Is it the will of God? Is it the will of God? It is not the will of God. God so loved the world, he gave his only one son. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has sent his son not to condemn this world. John 3, 16, 17, 18. Not to condemn this world, but to save the world. That is the idea of God. He wants to save the world. But here, Jesus is very, very clear in explaining how we could enter into the kingdom of God, how we can obtain the eternal life in our life. To enter into the kingdom of God, it is not easy, my friend. It's a hard road. What is it? It is a hard road. Hard road. It's a hard road. And many people will not enter into the kingdom of God. It is not the will of God, but it is our choice which will make us to lose our eternal life. When you make a choice, every choice in your life brings God's blessings. Every choice in our life, we lose blessings. And God wants us to be a blessing. And that blessing is not easy. That blessing is not easy. It's a hard, hard work to be done. It is hard work to be done. Don't go for easy things in your life. Don't ever think about these things in your life. సులువు అయినటువంటి పనుల కొరకు ఆశించొద్దు. నీకు ఇష్టమైనటువంటి పనుల కొరకు ఆశించొద్దు. వాట్ ఈస్ ద విల్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్? వాట్ ఈస్ ద విల్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్? వాట్ ఈస్ ద విల్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్? ఇఫ్ ద విల్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ ఇస్ వీ నీడ్ టు గో త్రూ ద హార్డ్షిప్స్ ఇన్ అవర్ లైఫ్, వీ మస్ట్ గో త్రూ ద హార్డ్షిప్, బట్ వీ నీడ్ టు సరెండర్ అవర్ సెల్ఫ్. అండ్ దట్స్ వాట్ కింగ్ డేవిడ్ సేస్, ఈవెన్ దో ఐ వాక్ త్రూ ద valley of shadow of death, I will not be afraid, because through this narrow way, you will take me. Not only you will take me, but you are with me to strengthen me, to understand what I need in my life. What I need in my life, you will understand. You will understand the ways of God. I will understand the ways of God. But how we will understand the ways of God? We need to have the Spirit of God in us. We need to have the Spirit of God. When you have the Spirit of God, every difficult situation, you will say yes. For every difficult situation in your life, you will say yes, because God, you are there to give me strength to go this, to solve this problem, to go through this storm. God gives us strength. And you will never say. And this strength comes. Day by day, this strength increases in us because this strength comes through experience for living for God. And these people have washed their blood. They have washed their clothes in the blood. They have washed. Now read very carefully what it says. They have tama vastramulanu varu utukunaranta. Devuni gorrepilla raktam lopala. They have sacrificed. They have given up their desires. And they said, these are my responsibilities. I need to do these things. There are two things in your life, in my life. Desires and responsibilities. Desires come from this world. Responsibilities come from the Spirit of God. Responsibilities are always hard to stand for because it needs your time, your money, your abilities, and your talents. It needs your family. It needs everything from you because the responsibilities will consume. The desires will give you pleasure. And always we love to have pleasures in our life rather going for the responsibilities. These people who have washed their bloods, who have washed their clothes in the blood of the Lamb, had responsibilities. They have sacrificed the whole life for the sake of God. They have sacrificed their families. They have sacrificed their money. They have sacrificed everything what they had. And Jesus said, unless and until you do these things, you will never enter. But let me tell you something. There is only way to enter into the kingdom of God. That is the narrow way. And that narrow way is Jesus himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one will enter into the kingdom of God except by me. And that word is very important because that is the narrow way. That is the way afflictions happen. That is the way where you will be pressurized. That is the way many times you will think that whether I live or die, I don't know whether I'll survive or not. Right? You don't know. But you hand over yourself to the Lord. You know, when we are afflicted, what happens in our life? How many of you know when you are afflicted? Do you know what happens? Let's go to 119 Psalm. 119th Kirtan. And I want somebody to read 71. 119 and 71. Amen. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your degrees. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen?
By afflictions we will know the way of God. By afflictions we will know to walk in the narrow way. By afflictions we will say no to the broad road. By affliction we will understand that there is only one way, and that way is Jesus himself. These people have followed Jesus Christ. They have not followed their desires. They followed their master because they knew that except for him, it will never happen in our life. That's the beauty, and that's the beauty. That's the beauty of our lives, you know. And, you know, if you don't want to be afflicted, if you don't want to go through pressures, if you want a good life, comfortable life, right? It says in the same chapter, verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Ni margam nundi nen tappipoyina. ఎందుకంటే నాకు కష్టాలంటే ఏం తెలుసు, సుఖాలేం తెలుసు నాకు. ఏం తెలుసు అండి, only to enjoy my life, only to take pleasures in my life. No, God loves us. And God has not chosen a happy way to save us. God has not chosen a pleasureful way to cleanse us. God has not chosen a good way to cleanse us. He has taken the rough path for you and for me. God has chosen a rough path for you and for me. Though he being a creator, he never said that, let me not die, but let me forgive these people. He never said, no, I have to die so that you may have life, and life, abundance, and eternal. That's the will of God. That's the will of God. The first group, they have died. The reason? Because they stood as a witness for Jesus Christ, and they were slain, they were killed by the jealous people. But they are at the altar of the living God, who's going to come back and judge this world in righteousness, where you and I are going to be in his kingdom. The second group are in the presence of God. They're trying to wash their clothes in the blood of the Lamb. Who wants to go through the tribulation? Who wants to go through affliction? Who wants to be pressurized? Who wants to die for Jesus? And they say that, not my desires, but my responsibility is what God has given me. I'm more important than anything in my life. God loves us, my friends. Don't ever try to choose easy path in your life. Please. Don't ever pray and ask God to give you an easy road in your life. No, please. We need to understand the word of God. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And verse 18. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own, as it is. You do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. The world hates you. The world hates the people who love God. If you are hated by the world, say praise the Lord. Say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Don't get disappointed. If you are hated by the world, say praise the Lord, because you have been chosen by the living God. If you are chosen by the living God, go through tribulation, as Christ went through, and he died for us so that you and I may live for eternity with him, for him, and for his glory and for his purpose. God wants to do something through you and through me. God wants to do something. God wants to do something. If you give yourself to God, if you give yourself to God today, and if you say that, Lord, let me not choose a broad way in my life, but let me choose a narrow way which will teach me your degrees in my life, which will teach me your commandments in my life, which will teach me your ways in my life, because your way is my life. You know, every time for the preparation song, we sing Deva Nidu Margam. I was telling my daughter, I said, it's not Margam. Deva Nidu Margam. Let your way be revealed to me. Nidu Margamu Maku Nerpumu Yesaya. Nivakyame. Entendi? Nivakyame na Nenu Tiskunedi Upiri. Adi Nivakyame Prabhu. Your word is my life, not only my life, but very breath what I take, every breath. I'm grateful to you because that is your power. That is the Dabar of God which dwells in us. The thought and the power of God which dwells in us. Today, God has chosen you and me. God has chosen you and me. And very clearly Jesus is saying, narrow is the way to get into the kingdom of God. People are going through tribulations. People have been slain, but they stood as a witness of Jesus Christ. Are you ready to give yourself to God unconditionally? Unconditionally, are you ready to give yourself to God and say that, Lord, I want to go through the narrow way. I don't want the broad way. Let's close our eyes. I want you to pray. Interact with God. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you what is your answer. The Holy Spirit will reveal to you, my friends. The Holy Spirit will tell you. Come into the presence of God today. God wants to bless you and strengthen you to go through the things you have not experienced in your life. God wants you to have a new experience in life. And that experience is a narrow way. That experience is an affliction. That experience is affliction. That experience is a pressure. That experience will squeeze you out. You will never have strength unless and until you depend on God. And if you say that, Pastor, I want to go through this narrow way. I want my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't want my desires. I want the responsibilities what God has given. If you say that, yes, I agree to go through the narrow gate. I want you to stand wherever you are. I would love to pray for you. Wherever you are, I want you to stand. I'd love to pray for you. Thank you. God bless 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 you. Let's raise our right hand. Let me pray for you. Lord, as your children have raised their hand, as they have stood in front, it is you, O Lord, who is going to give us strength. It is you, O God, who is going to lead us into the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. It is you, O Father, that you are going to do for us. Every problem, O Lord, every difficult situation, give us strength to go through that so that, Lord, we may stand as a living witness in this world for Christ Jesus, who died for us and shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary. Oh Lord, I bless your children in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we want to be in your kingdom with you. And today, we stand as a witness and ask you, Lord, lead us, lead us, lead us, because you're our leader. You're our leader. Thank you, Father. You are the only way. You are the only way. And we commit ourselves to you, O Lord. And together we say that, let your will be done in our life. And all God's people said, amen. Come, let us celebrate the Lord's table together.